Welcome. Welcome to the best 5-minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Your new book, How to Sound Wine Smart, drops today, which also in French history, do you know what today is?
Estelle Day, and the French soccer team is playing, so I feel like extra lucky and extra connected to my roots here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this isn't marketing, it's now become destiny.
Yeah, it's meant to be.
You are a published author. You are a James Beard award-winning illustrator. You're a family organizer. You're TikTok's favorite wine translator. Now, what does a Tuesday evening look like for you? Is it just a survive until the first glass of Merlot, or is there a color-coded calendar?
Oh, well, I have a 10-month-old, so yes, I am surviving and trying to hold things down until she's asleep and I can have some wine. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I've been working in wine for over 10 years, but I definitely am not a snobby wine drinker. I love the cool fancy stuff, but I'm also not above picking up a bottle or Trader Joe's. There's plenty of great wine to be found everywhere.
We've got a lot to get to here, but I kind of want to dive into your career and how you got to where you are today, because we all know that sometimes our career paths take a circuitous route.
Sorry,
you're born and raised or learned to drive where?
I was born in Boston, but I would say like raised mostly like middle school through high school in Houston, Texas. That's where I learned to drive at 15. So, because they allowed that there, and not surprisingly. But yeah, I kind of bopped around. I went to college in New York and lived there for a total of 10 years. Lived in San Francisco for a couple of years and then came back here, which is where my family ended up being based.
Any time overseas?
Oh, yes, I did. I lived with my family in fifth grade in Paris for a year. And then in between New York and San Francisco, I spent like 3 months working the harvest at a domain in Alsace, which was like the best wine field, not summer camp, but fall camp that I've ever been to.
Did you have trepidation about doing that manual labor kind of thing, getting your hands dirty, or did you just dive in?
Oh, no, I like that part. I'm actually pretty good with a repetitive task. So I really like that. And it was just so fun. There were a group of kind of like inexperienced. There was like, you know, one other wine person and then some people that were doing it professionally, some people that were just kind of like hands from around town and people from all over the world. And it was just like, it was literally the greatest time. You weren't really getting paid much, but the producer winemaker was like, here, you know, you have at it at my cave and, you know, to take what you want to drink. And that was incredible. And there's so much to learn on the job. It was, you know, literally stomping the grapes. It was great.
I think some of these wine owners and people in general, they equate alcohol with like $100 an hour. Hey, can you roof my house? I'll buy you a case of beer. It's like, yeah, hey, can you farm my wine, you know, my vineyards, and I'll give you all the wine you can drink. Well, I can only drink a glass a day or what have you.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like for the experience to see a side of it that I didn't feel like in wine, you end up talking about so much stuff. But for me, like I'm a hands-on kind of learner, visual learner, like I'm going to pick up more if I'm doing it. So that was helpful. And I couldn't make a full living doing it, but I was glad to do it for a couple months.
Yeah, I'm a visual learner as well. I get a piece of IKEA furniture and it's like, I'm not doing the directions. I'm looking at the box picture and putting it together my own way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I heard an interview where you said that the Terroir Wine Bar in New York City was the best wine bar in the world. Well, let's quantify that a little bit. Why? Because they give what?
Well, they gave me my start. Yeah. They gave me my start. I mean, I truly like owe everything to them, to the owner, Paul Greco, for giving me like a chance when in truth, like I had no business getting that job. I had been working as a waiter for a food website and I had an affinity for drinks. And so they made me in charge of that channel. And I kind of looked myself into a job there, kind of in the same spirit of what I was saying about working at the winery, like being like, I'm writing about this stuff, but I don't really feel like I know it because I'd interviewed a bartender there and the way he was talking about wine, I was like, I need this to be me. I feel like I need to understand it and appreciate it in that way. And, you know, I mean, I started there. They have 50, what was it? Yeah, like 50 wines by the glass going. I mean, that's insane. Like nobody does that. And on top of it, they do some were Riesling. So every white wine by the glass is Riesling. And, you know, your challenge, your fun challenge is to have somebody come in and say, like, I want a Chardonnay, I want a Sauvignon Blanc. Okay, no, we don't have that, but here's a Riesling that's going to fit that bill. You know, and it was grapes from all over the world that, you know, people weren't really like talking about and promoting, that weren't status quo. And it was such an incredible like crash course in wine and hospitality, and a way to talk about wine that didn't feel snobby or stuffy. It made it fun.